All right, well, many people do set goals. Not everybody does for the new year. It's totally fine if you do or don't. A lot of them have to do with health too, right? Physical health, mental health, emotional health, financial health, anything. Health is something a lot of people start to look at as we come into a new year. And we're going to do the same thing here at Hometown. For the first 5 weeks of this year, we're going to be in a series talking about spiritual health and getting spiritually healthy. Our series, as you can see it right up there, is going to be Spiritual Health, Invest, Grow, Mature. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about prayer, we're going to talk about fasting, we're going to talk about scripture reading, we're going to talk about giving and serving, and about community building as ways that we can grow in our spiritual lives and mature in them, and those make us more spiritually healthy. But I was really drawn to this first word, invest, as I was thinking about it. Invest, because we have to put something in to our spiritual health, right? If you have investment accounts, whether they're retirement accounts, you put money in so that it grows. Our spiritual health isn't that different. We have to put something in, each of us individually, for our spiritual health and our spiritual lives to grow and mature. And here's the thing. It's a daily thing we have to do. It's a daily investment that we put in. It's awesome to be here on Sunday mornings like you are. Please keep coming. It's great to be at your small groups, right? Those are important pieces of your spiritual health, but they're not the end-all, be-all. It's something we take part in every day. Think about physical health. You can spend your day meal planning. You can go to the grocery store and have all these great ideas of these healthy foods, but you don't make them and actually eat them. They don't actually make you healthy. That's kind of the idea here, is that it needs to be these daily practices to invest in our spiritual health. And good spiritual health leads to strong faith, because it is a faith that we live, not a faith that we consume. So over these next 5 weeks, we're going to have these teachings on these five topics, but we're going to get a little more practical and kind of give some practical steps as to how we can improve these areas in our lives. And if you have questions about how to implement them or want to talk further about them, talk to me, talk to Julie, anybody. We'd love to continue to help you implement these in your lives. And today is prayer. We just wrapped up our small group prayer time a little bit ago. We've been doing that. The idea behind that is community-based. It's praying together and the power of praying together. But today, we'll talk about individual prayer time and how important that is, because our individual prayer time is talking with God every day, and it's building our relationship with God every day. I love the way author and pastor Cary Nuoff puts it when it comes to prayer. And he says, prayer is not a button to be pushed. It's a relationship to be pursued. It's not a button to be pushed. It's a relationship to be pursued. Because in prayer, we're not just asking God, pushing the button, say, hey, God, do this. It's continuous communication with God. It's building a relationship with God. So we're going to look at it today by looking at Jesus' teaching on prayer in the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll break down prayer and how we can use this in our own lives. So we're going to look at Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. That is the Lord's Prayer. Kyle will have it up here on the screen behind me. You can look in the Bibles on your table. They are bookmarked if you would like to. Also, you can feel free to follow along on any sort of tablet or phone or whatever you have. I'll be in the NIV translation. It says this, Matthew 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We'll stop there with just that prayer from Jesus. So let's break it down. It says, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God is our Father. This positions God as our Father who gave us life and is still watching over us today. And he says our. It makes it communal. God is our Father. We are part of God's family. We're all connected as members of God's family. And then hallowed be your name. Hallowed meaning holy is your name. God's name is holy. He's already holy, but when we say it, it's a sign that we are treating God as holy and respecting him as holy. And then kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That God's kingdom would come, the way God rules would come on earth, the way God wants us to live would play out right here on earth. That the people of the earth would come to know God and live under his love and his authority. And then God's will be done. Romans 12 teaches us that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. His will being done is that we would be obedient to him, that his direction and his moral guidelines would be followed by us in our life. We would live in that way that he wills. His will was also for Jesus to come to earth and accomplish what he did on the cross. So living in God's will is the acceptance of what Jesus did on the cross for us and recognition of that. Then it says, give us today our daily bread. Bread represents our needs. In biblical times, people might have been paid or compensated for their work each individual day. And they would get just enough for each day to provide for their families. So God providing doesn't mean we don't work. It means God gives us the ability to work, but that what we have does come from God. And daily bread, one day at a time. This is important because it teaches us to rely on God every single day. When the Israelites were in the wilderness in Exodus and God provided, they were instructed to only gather enough for each day so that they had to rely on God every day. Forgive as we are forgiven. Forgive debt. Debt is sin in this case. Daily forgiveness for what we've done. Reminder, we will fall short. We will struggle. But that God forgives us every day. His forgiveness never runs out. And to work towards forgiving others. People have sinned against us. People have wronged us. We work towards forgiving them, not holding their sin against them anymore. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Help us in the midst of temptation and lead us away from the devil. The devil tends to come and tempt in our insecurities, in our vulnerabilities, in our doubts. So we ask God that every day he would be our strength and our guide away from that temptation and away from the devil. So you can absolutely, in your daily prayer life, open your Bible, open your phone to this, and just read it. It is phenomenal prayer. Can't do it better than how Jesus taught it. But we can also use our own voice in our specific situations and context when we pray. So we're going to look at some other ways how we can maybe structure prayer, and we're going to use the word pray as an acronym, okay? And before we get into that, how and when you pray is up to you. Some people like to pray silently when they're by themselves. Some people pray out loud. Some people write it down in prayer journals. Some people walk and pray and do it as a prayer walk. There are people I know that have what they call their prayer space or prayer closet at home, where they have like an area in their house that is just really sets them before God. All of those are great. You can find what works for you, for your time and place of prayer. What matters is that daily time of prayer. And the P, when we look at prayer, is praise. We should praise God in prayer, exalt God, honor God, give God a big compliment, tell God how super dope he really, really is. And I would say praise is probably the one element of my prayer life personally that I've been focusing on the most. As I was prepping this, I was like, man, this is where mine lacks. So I was hitting this one a little bit harder this week in my own time. I need to praise God more, not because he needs it, but because he deserves it. See, some people need to be complimented. Some people need to be really puffed up. Some people don't take compliments well, or it's awkward, or it's hard to hear compliments. God just deserves it. He doesn't need it, but God deserves our praise. Think about the biggest or best compliment you've ever received or that you could give to someone. And it's more than saying, hey, great job on that report. Oh, yo, Ryan, super sick sweatshirt, bro. That's awesome. It's bigger than compliment than that. It's you. Maybe you inspire me to be better. Or you light up the room when you come in. Or the world needs more people like you. These big, meaningful compliments. That's how we need to praise God in the biggest and highest ways possible. An honest and humble praise about the attributes of God. So one way is to praise God for his goodness. His goodness. That in a world with evil and anger and hate and just lots of really bad stuff, God is good. And that God is working everything together for his good. We can't always see it. We can't always feel it. We can't always understand it, but it's happening. And it's happening because God only knows how to be good. So we praise him for his goodness. And then his justice. You ever been treated unfairly? Ever feel like, man, the deck is just always stacked against me? It's not in my favor. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe life has really played out that way for you. God brings justice because he doesn't stand for oppression. He doesn't stand for people being pushed down. He stands on his truth. 100% God stands on his truth. But he stands for his justice that comes from that truth. He flips systems upside down. Remember his kingdom, the upside down kingdom, when it's put up against what we think a kingdom is. See, we have this idea of an earthly kingdom. God's is so different because it flips it all upside down. He's good and he's just. Let me praise God for his sovereignty. And this is one I found myself praising God for this week. His sovereignty, meaning he has authority and control over everything. It doesn't take much for me to see things around me as totally out of whack or spinning out of control. But God's in control. When I see chaos, God's in control. When all I can see is disorder, God actually has it ordered. And praise God for that. And what praise does is it appropriately positions us. Because we recognize who God is. We recognize where God is, that he is over and above us. He is still our loving and heavenly Father, but he's over and above us. So we praise God for who he is, where he is. So we praise God in prayer. The R is repent. We have to repent in prayer. This is admitting a wrong behavior and to change your ways. Confess the ways you've sinned against God and against others, and then commit to changing course. And it starts with a confession. As I've scrolled social media in the past, sometimes the videos that pop up are my favorite ones. Many are probably AI generated, I don't care. They're like little kids with their dogs, with their pets, and they're super funny, and I love it all. Like, they're playing together, and it's all nice. But there's one where this little kid, probably 2 years old, and their dog come in from outside, and they're all like muddy and dirty and everything, and you hear the parent, okay, who did it? And the little kid points at the dog. And then the dog's looking there, lifts up their paw and points at the kid. They don't want to confess. Nobody wants to own up to what's going on. But we have to do this sometimes. We have to confess. We have to recognize what we did. Confessing starts with recognizing our own sin. And some sin is really easy to recognize. If we take an honest look at our life, some of our sin is highlighted in like big neon letters saying, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this. Some is less obvious. It's hidden. But all of a sudden, there's a little nudge. There's a little inkling. There's this thing, whatever that thing is. That's not what God wants from you. It isn't behavior God is pleased with. And some sin, we don't even realize it comes out of nowhere. Right? We do something, we don't realize it was sinful, and somebody calls us on it. Or we get this massive conviction from the Holy Spirit, and it gives you this, oh, snap moment of that. I got to stop that. That isn't right. Bring those sins to God. That is facing those sins when we bring them to God. My daughter listens to a song that has the lyric, we can't fix it if we never face it. You're not going to just magically stop sinning. It doesn't work. But when we face our sin, we can stop. When we face our sin and we bring it to God, we face it with God. We bring it to God in prayer. And it's not easy to do. But when we do this, we'll start to feel the weight of that sin be lifted. Confessing your sin to God is part of repentance and prayer. That confession then leads us back to God. Coming back to God is part two of repentance. See, sin's like a barricade that separates and keeps us from God, but repentance smashes through that barricade and allows us back to God. It's, God, I am moving back to you from that sin. See, sin has kept me from you, God, but with you is where I want to be. So I'm repenting of that sin and coming back. The sin tells us that all the things we praise God for in the beginning, his goodness, he's not good. His justice, he's not just. His sovereignty, he's not in control. Sin tells us all of those things. But repentance crushes those lies and helps us see God for who he truly is and to get back into his presence. Repentance opens our hearts to our need for God. Repentance says, God, I need your forgiveness for how I've sinned. God, I need your grace because even though I'm trying, I'm going to screw up again. So it opens ourselves up to God. See, sin closes and hardens our heart towards God. Well, repentance opens it up and softens it. And that open and soft heart absorbs God's words and his presence. It's like a sponge that just takes it all in and holds it close. So make repentance a daily practice in your prayer life. God is not going to look down on you for needing to repent. He'll lift you up for being willing to repent. Then the A is ask. And I would say this is probably adventure. This is where a lot of us spend most of our prayer time, is in the asking God for things. You ask for direction, you ask for blessing, you ask for healing for ourselves or others. And that is all great. Keep doing that. It is a part of daily prayer life. Just keep in mind who God is when you're asking for prayer and what you're asking for. Remember, when we pray, it's not a button to be pushed, a relationship to be pursued. When you ask God in prayer, we're not just calling in a favor. Like many of us have called in favors, right? Hey, I need help moving. I need help picking something up, this piece of furniture. I need a favor to watch your kids. It's something that you're just... I need help in general. And that's totally normal and a perfectly fine thing to do. It's awesome to have people we can ask favors of and that people can ask favors of us. But asking of God in prayer isn't the same as asking for a favor or asking God to just do you a solid. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Look at what was asked for. Daily provision and forgiveness. Ask God to provide. And ask God to provide for your needs, not greeds. Needs, not greeds. The actual daily needs. And even if you have them and you're sure you're going to have them, bring them to God in prayer anyway. If you know you've got food on the table and a roof over your head, thank God for providing those and ask that he would continue to do so. Those practical needs, we should understand and see how God has provided for them. But we can get outside of practical needs too. We can all ask for guidance and direction. We all need that at times. God, what should I do here? God, which direction should I go? And when you do this, my encouragement is to make it a straight ask of God. God, what do you want? Not, God, here's what I really want. If you can just sign on the dotted line and say it's okay, that'd be great. But actually ask of God. That ask, that honest ask, shows a reliance and a trust in God. That reliance and trust builds our relationship with God through prayer. And we can ask on behalf of others. This is an incredible part of prayer, is praying for other people. Ask God for healing for someone, for peace for someone, for direction for someone, anything. But going to God in prayer and asking God to be present and heard and seen in the life of someone else is an amazing thing we can do for them. It shows God that you trust him and increases your trust in him. It shows the other person how much you trust in God because you are seeking him on behalf of them. Ask of God for others. And then ask God for forgiveness and to help you offer forgiveness. Think about forgiveness as a release of what's being held against you or what you are holding against somebody else. When God forgives you, and he does, forgiveness is granted because Jesus forgave our sins and our debts when he died on the cross. God is no longer holding our sin against us. So we repent, we admit what we did wrong, and we ask God to forgive us. And God does, and it's pretty great that he does. But forgiveness is a two-way street. As God forgives us, we also need to forgive others. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." It's not easy to do. I won't stand up here and pretend that like you're going to pray tonight and tomorrow morning you'll magically forgive everybody in your life that's ever wronged you or hurt you. I know it doesn't work like that. But we ask God to help us work towards forgiveness. And forgiveness isn't saying what happened was okay or is acceptable. It's not saying you're going to be best friends with somebody that hurt you again. But forgiveness is not holding the grudge against them or holding what was done against them. It's releasing it. It's allowing you to not be tied to them anymore. It allows you to move more freely. So ask God to reveal, first off, who do you need to forgive in your life? And then ask God to help you work towards forgiving those people as God forgave you. Last year on Good Friday, we talked about forgiveness, and I gave out cross stickers, and I said, take two of them as reminders. One, to remind you that you are forgiven, and two, the second one, to remind you that you need to forgive. So if you still have them, great. If you don't, there's up here in one of these baskets. Are they out there? They're in the back, at the front table. Okay, you can grab those on your way out if you want, if you need those as reminders. I keep them on my phone case. Okay, Ryan's going to put them on the communion table, so later you can grab those stickers if you want them, if you need that reminder again. But ask God in prayer. Never be afraid to ask for daily needs, for provision, for guidance. Ask God for things for others and ask for forgiveness and the strength to forgive. Now that feels like a lot. It's like, whoa, those first three letters are a lot. It's okay. So the fourth letter is going to teach us to slow down a little bit. The Y is for yield. Yield. Let God guide and answer. Think about a yield sign for a minute. From what I could find, the very first yield sign came into play in the 1950s in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the corner of First Street and Columbia Avenue. Apparently, this was a very dangerous intersection, so there was an officer by the name of Clinton Ruggs who designed this to alleviate the danger, but also to assign clear blame in the event of a collision. Now, over the years, the look and the design of the sign, apparently from where it started, has changed, but it tells drivers to slow down, be prepared to stop, and give the right-of-way to other drivers or pedestrians. When we yield to God in prayer, we need to slow down. Maybe we need to stop. We got to give the right of way to God and let him go. You've just asked things of God, right? With the A. Well, now you got to give him time and space to answer. That's yielding to God in prayer. And this is a spot where solitude really comes in with prayer. When Jesus would go to pray, he would often go away by himself. He did that in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. He did that in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested. He took his disciples, but then went off to pray by himself. Take a cue from that. Have some time and some space where it's just you and God. Shut down the noise. Put the phone down. If you're me, put the coffee down. Take the earbuds out, whatever, and just listen. And God might speak, and he might not. But the fact is you're giving him the room and the space to speak, and you're listening. He may speak on something you just asked him about. He may speak on something totally different. But what the yielding and solitude does is get you used to slowing down and paying attention to God and listening for him. And at times, he's going to be really loud and obvious, right? He's going to be Moses in the book of Exodus and the burning bush. And I really wish he would do that more for me, so I was sure. But so often, it's quieter and it's subtle. But the more frequently I take times of solitude and yielding, the better I'm at recognizing the quiet whisper of God's voice when it comes. So maybe in that time of solitude, I don't get anything, but later in the day, I hear the quiet whisper of God. And it comes because I've given God the time and the space to speak. So find your way to yield, to have your solitude, whatever that looks like for you. All of our lives are different. So find your way to slow down, maybe to stop, and to give the right of way to God. Yield to him and sit with him. That's daily part of prayer with him. And the point is daily prayer. Praise. We'll wrap up here. Praise. Tell God how awesome he is. Give him his due for his attributes, that he's good, that he's just, that he's sovereign. That reminds us that God loves us and sees us, but that he's over and above us. And then repent. Confess your screw-ups to God. He already knows them. So bring them to him. Face them with God, and then work back towards God, your true heavenly Father. That sin doesn't define you to him. Being a child of God defines you with him. So bring your sin to him. Repentance brings us back in to that closeness and relationship with him. And ask. Make your requests to God. Come to God about daily needs and provision. Come to God for guidance. Ask God to intercede for the lives of people around you. Ask God to forgive you and ask him to reveal where you need to offer forgiveness. Ask him to help you work towards forgiving somebody. And then yield. Take a pause and listen. Find some quiet, find some solitude, and let God speak. Listen for that quiet whisper. It's okay if it doesn't come right away, but give him the time and the space to speak and say, God, I'm here and I'm listening. Have that be a daily prayer life. And that daily prayer life builds a relationship with God and helps us be more spiritually healthy. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that we could just talk about prayer. God, I just pray that it's something that we would all do in our daily lives. It would become something we crave, something we enjoy, just our communication with you. God, our time with you and in your presence. So I pray for all of us here that we'd create the time to talk out and then time to listen. That we allow ourselves to quiet down the noise of life and the noise of the world and talk to you and listen for you. So I pray, God, that as we go, prayer would be something that we would not feel like we have to do, but God, remember, it's something we get to do, and that we can come to you every day. God, that we can praise you. We come to you in repentance. We come to you, we can ask. And God, that we yield, that we slow down. Just sit with you and listen to you. So God, I thank you for this morning and being here with us. In your name.